Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
If you have your Bible, I would encourage you now to open it to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Now, as I said a moment ago, this last week, we celebrated Christmas. And during the Christmas time, we celebrate the arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He came down, stepped down from glory to dwell with his creation. He grew up, lived a sinless life. He died for you, and he died for me. 3 days after his death, he rose from the grave, victorious over Satan, over sin and death itself. It no longer holds power in our lives. And he is right now, in this very moment, seated at the right hand of God in glory forever. That is what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Savior, and at Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. It has been an amazing year here at Shepherd of the Hills. We've seen God working in the lives of our people. We've seen God working in the lives of people we come in contact with of our world. It has been a great year. If we look back at this year, there have been a lot of things that have happened. Some of the things that you might not have heard about that have happened in people's lives were one woman from Iowa. She received as a gift this year a lotto ticket. But lo and behold, she was one of the lucky few, and she actually won over $4 million as a gift from a lotto ticket. I need friends like that who can give me a gift of a lotto ticket to give me $4 million. That would be amazing. I got a lotto ticket this year, actually, as a gift, and I was just finished reading this story, and I was super excited, like, oh, man, this is, like, going to fall perfectly into place. I'm going to be a millionaire. But no, it didn't happen that way, but it's okay. But this year, this will be the year that woman always remembers as the year that she won the lottery. Oh, this other woman from Nebraska, who in 2013 was diagnosed with seasonal allergies. She's had a runny nose. And she had a runny nose for the last 5 years. Seasonal allergies that last every single day for the last 5 years of her life. And this year, she went to a specialist who diagnosed her. It wasn't seasonal allergies. She was literally draining brain fluid out of her nose for the last 5 years. But in 2018, is going to be the year that she remembers as the year she was diagnosed and they fixed the problem. But neither of those hold a candle to our third person. His name is Dylan McWilliams, who at the start of this year, he went backpacking, all right, doing a little camping out in Colorado. And unfortunately, he was attacked by a bear. Now, there are approximately 13 bear attacks every year in the United States, and this guy won the bad lottery. He got attacked by a bear. Now, if that were it, he would remember 2018 as the year he was attacked by a bear. But let's fast forward a little bit. The same gentleman is surfing in Hawaii and gets attacked by a tiger shark. The odds of that happening in a single year to a single person are less than 100 billion to one. But this man will look back and will remember forever that 2018 was the year that he was attacked by a bear and a shark. Now, there should be, if you're a believer here this morning, a year for you that you can look back on, that you always remember. And that was the year that you dedicated your life to Christ. Now, if you're sitting here like me, I've been going to church since I was very small. I grew up in a church. My dad was in the Air Force. We moved around a lot. But wherever we went, it didn't matter where we got to, we found a local church. I don't think it's been more than a few weeks in a row that I've missed being in a church. I grew up in church. I've been around Christ my entire life. So if you're like me and you've been in church your entire life, you look back and try and think of that moment where you first heard about Christ, and you really can't because you've heard about him your entire life. But there's a difference between that moment you first heard about Christ and that moment you first accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I did that in high school my junior year. I remember doing that. I remember deciding this is the time. That this faith is no longer something that I'm just looking into, that I actually believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, God with us, and that he has a plan for my life, and if I put my faith and my trust in him, that he will guide me home. You should be able to look back in your life and see a time where you committed yourself to Christ, where you decided it was your faith that you wanted to follow after your Lord and Savior. And that's what I want to encourage you to do this morning, That's what this message is going to be about. How we go about following after our Lord and Savior. How we make our lives ones dedicated to His glory. So as I said before, hopefully your Bibles are open. We're in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start off with verse 19. So Hebrews 10, 19 says this. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now in verse 19, the very first word that is listed is the word therefore. Now the word therefore is a connection word. It is drawing you back to what has happened previously in the book of Hebrews. Now unless you have read Hebrews recently, it may not be a book that you remember or something that you don't know about. So I'm going to fill you in on Hebrews a little bit and what this therefore is there for. The book of Hebrews here is relating back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, where it says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. It's related back to Hebrews 10, verse 12, where it says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. This, therefore, is a reminder to us that we no longer rely on the offerings of sheep and of goat and dove, but Christ came down and once for all offered an offering that can save each and every one of us from our sins. That's what this therefore is for. It's a reminder to us that Jesus saves. So we read, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. The word confidence here in the original language would refer to someone who could speak boldly. One who, when they're talking with someone who's an authority over them, has no fear. You and I can speak boldly this morning to our God because of what Christ did on the cross over 2,000 years ago. You and I can go boldly to a Heavenly Father, speaking to Him one-on-one as if to a friend. And when it refers here to these holy places, if you think back in the Old Testament to the temple, there were different sections for different believers. You had the outer court, which was welcome to anybody. Then you had the inner sector, which could only be the Jews. And then you had the Holy of Holies, that place where only the high priest was allowed to go, and then only one time a year. Leviticus 16 tells it this way. It says, to tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over that mercy seat, and in this way Aaron should come into the holy place. And then it goes on to list everything that he was supposed to do before he got into the holy place, exactly the clothes that he was called to wear, exactly the offering that he was called to make. It was a list of do this and do this and do this, and then you can come to me. Could you imagine if that was how it was today? If you wanted to pray to God, that first you'd have to go wash up in the shower, become ritually pure, and then go and find an unblemished lamb to bring for an offering of sacrifice? That's not how we live our lives. If you and I are struggling or going through something, we can turn right now to our God in prayer. And we know our God hears us. See, there are times in life where you will be uncertain about things. You'll have conversations where you're not sure what the outcome is going to be. I want you to, right now, if you can indulge me for a moment, think back to the first time that you asked out someone on a date. If you haven't done this yet, it is a nerve-wracking experience. Because you don't know how that conversation is going to go. You have a hope. You think you know how it's going to go. You've got your fingers crossed that, hey, when I ask this person out, they're not going to reject me. They're not going to embarrass me. They're not going to leave me feeling ashamed. You hope that it's going to turn out well, but you're uncertain how that conversation will go. But when you turn to God in prayer, you can go to Him boldly knowing that God hears you. He's not going to reject you. He loves you. He cares about you. 1 John 4:14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So if you're here this morning and you're a believer in Christ, I want to encourage you to be active in prayer, boldly turning to your God at all times, because God hears our prayers. We continue reading on here in Hebrews, and it says, by the new and living way that He opened up for us, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Now, as I said this before, you and I can come boldly before God. Hebrews calls this the new and the living way. Remember back to the Old Testament, how the old way was the offering of lambs and of animals, and it was a blood sacrifice. But Christ here was the new and living way. He gives us a new way to come to God. And he did it through his death, but he also did it through his life. Christ lived a sinless life. That's what I want to talk about next. I want to talk about your spiritual life. Jesus Christ submitted his will to the will of the Father. Do you submit your life to the will of God this morning? That's my question to you. Where are you at in your spiritual walk? How is your spiritual health? I want you to imagine for a second, if you would, a desert. Now, as I said before, my dad was in the Air Force, and we used to travel a good bit. I have never actually seen a desert. The closest I've ever come to a desert would be to the beaches in Florida. My family, every year, my mom's from Alabama, we would travel down to Florida, and we go to the beach in Florida. And there are a number of things I remember about those beach trips, but one thing that always stood out to me was the distance from the car to the ocean. It was at least 100 miles. It was, in reality, 100, 150, 200 yards. It was a walk. But look at my complexion. I am a white man. I burn quite easily. So imagine me as a child trying to carry my boogie board under my arm, which I can barely do. I end up dragging it half the time, walking across this hot sand as I burn my feet, all in the attempts to get to the ocean. I can imagine walking through the desert being something like that. The sun beating down upon your body. The heat, almost excruciating. Is your spiritual life like that of a desert? See, all deserts have one thing in common. They have a lack of water. The average desert receives about 10 inches of water every single year. If you've been in Pennsylvania this year, I feel like we got an inch of water every week. We have had rain upon rain upon rain. But in the desert, they have so little water. 10 inches, it's just enough to sustain a little bit of life. It's not a tropical rainforest where there's animals everywhere. There are a few things that live in a desert, and that's all. Is your spiritual life like that of a desert? Is your spiritual life lacking something? Are you lacking water? The water here being your prayer. The water here being your commitment to Scripture. Is there anything coming into your life that is causing life to grow? Or are you living like a spiritual desert and not growing at all? You're still a Christian, you're still a believer, but there's no fruits from your labor. Or is your life more like the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea, unlike the desert, has plenty of water. The Dead Sea is fed primarily through one tributary, and that would be the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is slightly dirty, it's a muddy river, but it's fresh water. If you purified it, you can drink that water. I wouldn't recommend drinking it straight out of the water, but you can drink that water. And that water leads down, and some of it ends up in the Dead Sea. So this fresh, clean water from the Jordan ends up at the Dead Sea. And if you know nothing about the Dead Sea, it's all in the name. Dead. There is no life in that water. The salt level is just too high. Is your life like that, your spiritual life? Are you getting plenty of Scripture reading? Are you spending time in prayer, but you're not letting any water out? See, the Dead Sea's primary problem is that it has nowhere for the water to go. So everything that flows into the Dead Sea just kind of sits there. The water evaporates, leaving high levels of salt and leaving no life. Is your spiritual life like that, where there is a lot coming in but not a lot going out? Or is your spiritual life more like this? Is it more like a nice, healthy pond, a nice, healthy lake? See, all healthy lakes have one thing in common. They have a homeostasis. They have reached this equilibrium where the amount of water that's coming in is the same as the matter of what's going out. They're fresh, they're clean, there is life in those ponds. See, I want to encourage you this morning to evaluate your spiritual life. I want you to be like that pond. I want you to have an intake of Scripture. I want for you to have an intake of prayer, spending time daily praying to God, daily in Scripture, and at the same time turning around and going out and using what you've learned in your life. Using what God has given you, equipped you with in the service of others. The only way you're going to be a healthy pond is if there's stuff coming in and stuff going out. James 2:17 says it this way, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Lamentations 3:2 says it this way, that the Lord is my portion, says my soul. I shall put my hope in him. If your hope is in the Lord this morning, if he is your God, I want to encourage you to be like a healthy ecosystem. I want to encourage you to be like that healthy pond where there's stuff coming in and stuff going out. As Pastor Colin mentioned earlier, it is almost a new year. 2018 has flown by like in the blink of an eye. 2019 is going to be here, and I want to encourage you to do two things in this upcoming year. The first off, I want you to read more scripture. I want to encourage you and to challenge you to read through the Bible in 2019. If you read 4 chapters every day for 6 days a week, this year you could read the entire Bible. And I know what you're thinking, looking at the Bible, it's a pretty thick book. And if you open it up like mine, it's got pretty small print. And you're feeling like you can't do it, it's a lot of reading, it's just a little bit at a time. I want to encourage you to daily to be in God's Word. Now, if you're looking for an easy way to do that, if you don't want to do it straight through just 4 chapters, I would encourage you to get the Bible app. If you have a smartphone, it looks just like this. That is the app that I use. I love the Bible app because I can pick a plan to read through, and every single day, I have to click off, yes, I did my reading today. And it helps me to be dedicated, to focus on the Word. In the Bible app, I also love the different plans that it has. You can go through chronologically through the Bible. You can see the different points, what happened when chronologically. You can read through cover to cover. You can go through topically. And they have all these plans that are absolutely free for you to use. I want to encourage you this year, make 2019 the year that you read through the Bible. And as I said, the intake of Scripture is the water going in. But we need to be also having water go out. I want to encourage you this year also to be involved with sharing the message of Christ. You can get more involved here at Shepherd of the Hills. We have a number of ministries I would love to connect you with. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about it this way, that we are the body of Christ. Each one has a different part, a different section, a different task. You and I have each been equipped differently to the service of God, but I want to encourage you today to be using whatever God has equipped you with for his glory. You can do that here at Shepherd of the Hills by working with our children's ministry, by working in our worship team. You can do it by getting more involved here on a Sunday morning, working with our media. We have a lot of opportunities for you to do service. I'm not going to list them all for you, but if you're not involved somehow, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Get involved this year. Come see myself, see Pastor Colin. We would love to get you plugged in. We would love to get you using the gifts that God has given you for the service of his kingdom. So we continue on in Hebrews 10:21 says this, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now Hebrews here is reiterating what I've been trying to say this entire morning. We have boldness before God. We can come to God boldly knowing that he hears our prayers. We need to draw near to him because the problem of a priest is settled. We no longer need a priest to offer sacrifices. Christ is our high priest. You and I need to be like a healthy pond. 2 Timothy says this, to do your best to present yourself to God as one who is approved, a worker with no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. So our first 2 points this morning are that we need to be bold in our faith, boldly praying, boldly stepping out and sharing our faith with others. We need to be assessing our spiritual health. We need to realize, are we like a desert, nothing going in, nothing going out? Are we the Dead Sea, where stuff's coming in but nothing's going out? Or are we a healthy pond with water going in and water going out? We continue reading on in Hebrews 10, verse 22, we read this, to let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, I have grown up, and I have watched one television show more than every other television show in my life. That television show is the show Survivor. I don't know if you've ever seen it. My family used to grow up. We would sit down, we would watch Survivor together as a family every single week. It was one of my greatest memories as a child, sitting there and trying to figure out who was going home that week. I greatly enjoyed watching Survivor. There have been very few seasons I haven't watched every episode. And I watched it because I liked the challenges that they did. I loved the challenges that they did. These obstacle courses looked like so much fun. I always wanted to go on Survivor just to try the obstacle courses. They go over these things, they have to throw this ball through a hoop and somebody has to catch it, and just random stuff like that I really enjoy. But my favorite challenges that they have are the challenges of endurance. They had a challenge this last season that was very simple. They had a pole for each individual contestant. And on that pole, picture it like a cross. And each individual contestant had to get onto their pole and stand upon a little block that was about 1.5, 2 inches thick. And they had to stand there and hold onto it just like this. And that was the entire challenge. How long can you hold on? How long can you hold on? The winner of that challenge was the one who held on the longest. You and I here are told to hold fast to our faith. Do you hold fast to your faith? Do you hold on knowing that if you let go of Christ, when you walk away, that you lose? That you're walking outside the will of God, that you are no longer in service to God? Do you hold on to that faith, knowing that it is everything in your life? Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He says that this urging to let us hold fast might well be written on the cover of every Christian Bible. We live in such a changeful age that we need all to be encouraged to be rooted and grounded, confirmed and established in the truth that is the Scripture. You and I this morning need to be rooted in Scripture, holding fast onto Christ. That is how we're going to live lives in service to our Lord, holding fast to Him. Verse 25 reiterates this point by saying, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This idea of stirring up one another to love and good works, the word "stirring up" here invokes an emotional response. You're supposed to be emotionally charging people. When is the last time you shared your testimony with somebody else? And I don't mean a non-believer, I mean a Christian. Somebody you know who's a believer. When's the last time you share with them what God has done and what God is doing in your life? That's one of the ways that we encourage our fellow believers, is by sharing how we see God in our lives. You can share your personal testimony with somebody, and that's the beautiful part about a testimony. It's your testimony. Everyone who is here this morning has a different testimony. God has worked in your life different than He's worked in my life. We need to be sharing our testimony with fellow believers in order to encourage them. It says here that we are to not neglect meeting together. You cannot encourage somebody that you do not see. You cannot encourage somebody that you do not know. So I want to encourage you to be encouraging to one another. And that is so difficult. I understand, I'm not asking you an easy task. Encouraging one another is very difficult for believers because it requires you to be compassionate. It requires you to be patient. It requires you to hold the mindset of Christ. In a world that is constantly telling you that you need to look out for yourself, this scripture here is imploring you to be like Christ, to be encouraging one another, to continue to hold fast to our faith. See, this upcoming year, as we said before, we are almost done with this year. This year is almost past. We are starting next week a brand new series here at Shepherd of the Hill called The DNA of a Healthy Church. And the entire focus is going to be what it looks like to be a healthy, God-loving church in the 21st century. I would encourage you today to be here next week. I would encourage you today to reach out to somebody you haven't seen here at church in a while. Encourage them to come back. Encourage them to be active in their faith, putting their faith into practice. Because in closing, I want you to remember that we have boldness to come before God. We don't require a priest to offer sacrifices on our behalf. We go to God ourselves. I also want you to recognize your spiritual health. I want you to be spiritually healthy, seeking after God in prayer, seeking after God in Scripture, and then taking the things that He is teaching you and putting into practice in your life, sharing it with others, and all the while encouraging one another to hold fast to the faith of Christ.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lightthewayradio.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lightthewayradio.org. and learn how you can become a Light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover seven miracles of Jesus and the seven I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a Light partner or just receive more information, log on to lightthewayradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Monger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.